Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Rob Blokzijl, and I will be the first speaker in this session. I'm Axel Pavlik, Managing Director of the Ripe-NCC, will take the second part of this presentation. This is something we have been doing now for, I think, two or three years. Every Ripe meeting, we have people who come for the first time in their life to a Ripe meeting, and some time ago, it came to our attention that this is slightly differently organized than a conference. So people expected to go to a conference, sit back, and be entertained, whereas this is, to a much higher degree, a do-it-yourself meeting. So we decided to give an introduction to who we are and how we work, and what you can expect of us and what we expect of you. So if everybody can find a seat, there are lots of empty seats here. Don't be afraid of the first rows. Who of you is a real newcomer, has never been to a Ripe meeting before? That's quite a number. Well, in the first place, a very warm welcome. I hope it will not be your last Ripe meeting. If that would be the case, we have done something wrong. So, first half, we will talk about Ripe, and the second part, Axel Pavlik will give an introduction to the Ripe-NCC. I will tell a little bit of the history, because that explains to a great extent what we are doing and why we are doing it, and why we are doing it, how we are doing it. I'll go quickly through our terms of reference, which explain the activities which we intend to do. I'll explain some of the organization around all this. I'll explain how the meetings work, how the working groups work, and how the policy process works. That's a lot, so I might speed up somewhere. We started in May 1989. That is 15 years ago. Axel, we forgot to celebrate that specially. Well, there is a drink tonight. Our first meeting was 14 participants and took half a day. That's quite different nowadays, as you already may have noticed. I want to, as the main background why we started this, most of you probably are too young to remember even this, but we had protocol wars. We started doing computer networking, and there were two school of thoughts. One was called the Open Systems Interconnect, and in Europe that was good because it was invented by phone companies, which in those years were wholly owned by governments. So governments also thought this was good. TCP/IP was bad because it was not invented by European phone companies. It was invented by some American universities. That made life difficult because there was one practical observation in those years. OSI is good but didn't exist. You could not go to a manufacturer and say, give me OSI software for my network. And TCP/IP came free of charge with most popular operating systems. So, as usual, universities don't understand all this politics, and they just went ahead and installed it, implemented it. Not being the greatest experts, they all basically used the same textbooks and the same examples and used the same internet protocol addresses, which is fine on your university campus. But if you want to interconnect two universities, you have a problem if you are using the same addresses. So, sort of coordination was needed. These were the 14 people who came together. It was not really a secret meeting, but we didn't advertise it very much because it might upset governments and other learned bodies. Some of these people you will see still around at this meeting later in the week. Some of them have wandered off to other activities in life. What we wanted to do is operational coordination of IP networks. what we from day one decided not to do, we do not do standards. There are other bodies. In the field of the internet, it's the Internet Engineering Task Force. That is the body that sets the standards. We decided not to get into the names game, so we do not assign names. There are other bodies to do that. And we do coordination of existing and growing networks. We do not do network operation. That was very difficult in the first years of our existence, when people thought that RIPE was the internet in Europe, and if you had a network problem, you phone RIPE and they will solve it, because they operate the internet in Europe. Well, we don't. This you can't read, most probably, I hope. But these are our terms of reference. Well, there are organizations that have more text describing their constitution and what they want to do and how they want to do it. I will quickly walk through a couple of these points, because they're still valid today. This is a RIPE document, RIPE number one. It's also an RFC, I think, 1088, if I'm not mistaken. We act as a forum for the exchange of technical information and the creation of expertise on IP networking. That was the case 15 years ago, and it is still the case today. You might think that creating expertise on IP networking is something of the past. Everybody knows how it works. You might be surprised how many respectable ISPs still need some addition to the knowledge base. Hence, we have tutorials. The area of relevance for RIPE is Europe, because we started here, but we are not very picky about that. And as you will see a bit later in Axel's talk, I think currently our area of where people find an interest in what we do and actively participate is about 100 countries. That is geographical Europe. Nowadays, when you say Europe, people think European Union, but Europe is a little bit larger than just the European Union, even after last weekend. It's geographical Europe that includes the whole of the former Soviet Union, the Central Asian Republics, Kazakhstan, etc. It's the Middle East and roughly Africa north of the equator. Why? I don't know, but people chose to join us, and it's their choice, not ours, but they're welcome. We invite everybody operating wide area IP networks or large enterprise networks to participate. It's to your benefit, it's to our benefit. And we try to establish agreements on doing common things in a common way. You can, if you are involved in network operations in your organizations, you can find immediately examples of why you have to cooperate with your closest competitors. Just think about routing and as one example. One very important issue is we are not a secret society. Whatever we do, we write it down and publish it. And all our publications are freely available on our website. So whatever we conclude or recommend, it's there for the public at large. And again, we are not a network service provider. So, how are we organized? We are a bunch of volunteers coming from thousands of organizations. The numbers will be revealed a bit later in Axel's presentation. And we are not a legal entity. We just work together. So we have no formal membership. And we have no votes, because if you have not a legal entity and no formal membership, it's very difficult to define voting procedures. This is nothing strange on the internet. All respectable internet organizations avoid votes, because it never works. a majority vote to decide to do routing in a complete different way. If that gains a 55% majority vote, the other 45% go home and don't do it because it's against their business plan. So voting in this field is a sure way to destruction. We do something that is consensus. That means if 55% thinks it's a good idea, they go home and do it, and the other 45% don't do it, or maybe later. But that doesn't harm anybody. But it it prevents long, heated campaigns and fights. So, we don't exist, we have no members, and we don't vote. That leaves that leaves us ample time to do productive work. It appeared that in order to keep the productive work going, you need a chairman. And that's the sucker who organized the meetings, who keeps an eye on the progress of work in between the meetings, and who answers questions from the outside world. And that's me. And so the honorable job of a chairman is a working job. With no power and lots of duties and obligations. The real work is done in working groups. you will have seen on the program already that the main time this week is consumed by meetings of working groups, and working groups are being run by working groups, and I appoint chairs and they run their own program. I will go a little bit in detail through the working groups, and then this will become a little bit clearer. And a working group is a group of people that work, and it is not a room full of people that listen to presentations and go home and say, what a nonsense. No. You are supposed to say, what a nonsense during the presentation, and I have a much better idea. And then it starts becoming a working group already. Working groups, we have sometimes task forces. Some problems are of a much longer time span than some others. Some only need a quick fix, and then we create a task force. It's all volunteers, and we are all counting on you. And sometimes we have only a need, or some people have a need to get together, because in coffee breaks they find out they have common problems, and they say, ah, can you organize an hour in the afternoon or in the evening, find us a room, and we do that. We call that birds of a feather, a well-known term on the internet. And that is really people who come together and say, shall we talk about this? We do this three times a year, a right meeting, and next year we do an experiment, two times next year, because we think that can think of ways of being more productive with having two meetings, but better organization of the work in between the meetings. Meeting takes 5 days and consists of working group meetings, task force meetings, birds of feather meetings. We have plenary session where all the working groups report. So if you already found a conflict on the program because you want to go to two meetings which are on top of your agenda of interest, and that just happen to happen at the same time in different rooms, don't worry, pick one, you will get a report from the other one. And we have usual related meetings. Sometimes we have workshops, sometimes we have tutorials, sometimes we have RIPE-NCC training course. I think tomorrow morning there is a training course, I'm not sure. Yes, and all these are open because people sometimes ask, how do I become a member because I want to come to the next RIPE meeting? I say, oh, that's simple. First problem is solved. You cannot become a member. And the second one is you just buy a ticket and come to wherever we hold the meeting. It's open. The only thing you need to participate, basically, is an email address, because most of the discussions and decisions that a working group or consensus that a working group reaches is done on mailing list. 14 people came the first time. It's a bit more now, and we are now RIPE 48. I have here statistics up till RIPE 45, so that is a year ago. On the far left side, that's rack number one with 14, and you see that currently we fluctuate around the 300 mark. Our all-time record was slightly over 450. That was in the midst of the internet dot-com boom. So we carefully follow the booms and the busts. If you look at the index price index of shares on the Nasdaq, you will see a similar graph. And that's highly amusing. We come, you come from many, many countries. This, I hope you can see it. You can see that it is truly international. The biggest slice of the pie is labeled EU. That's not all officials from the European Union in Brussels. That is people who say, I'm European, because I work for a European organization, like the RIPE-NCC or whatever. It's interesting to note that the third largest country, according to our attendees, people who come to our meetings, is the United States. So that shows that we are truly international. And basically you can see that from our 100 countries, a lot come to the meetings. First meeting, 14 people, all came from academic organizations, universities, and large research institutes. That is different today. 50% come from commercial entities, mainly ISPs or large enterprises. About 10% of our audience still has universities as an affiliation. 7% work for governmental organizations, 7% work for different kinds of international organizations, not necessarily directly related to running internet, and 27% of our attendees have no clue what sort of organization they are working for. These are just the responses from the registration form. So, so working groups. One of the main items of work, probably that is a main reason for most of you coming for the first time to a RIPE meeting, is because you've got for the first time or quite recently a block of IP addresses for your company or organization. So you're interested in probably who designed this incredibly complicated templates. Rules are complicated. Why are they like that? Well, they have been set by your peers, not by us. You design the rules, and you do, in the case of address and ASN allocations, both IPv4 and IPv6 addresses, in the address policy working group. And that working group sometimes goes through interesting times when people want to change policies, because what is good for you is not necessarily good for your competitor. And still you have to agree on common rules. We have an anti-spam working group. That is not a working group trying to prevent spam reaching individual end users. That is somebody else's problem, we decided. But this working group looks at what can an ISP do in fighting spam, not on the delivery end, but on the sending end, which is, in principle, much more effective. If you can block the sending of spam, then 100,000 ISPs in the world will not have to bother stopping your spam. We have a database working group because we run a large database. All our transactions in the field of address policy are being recorded in a public database, in a database which is publicly accessible. That's part of our duty to be open and transparent, to make clear to the world at large what happens to the address space which we hand out. these databases being used by almost all of your organizations on a daily basis. So it affects your the working of your operations. Hence, we have a working group that defines the functionality and the interface of a database. So if you have complaints about the database, you go to that working group. We have a DNS working group, very interesting, because in our terms of reference that we stay away from the names game, but we do run, ISPs do run domain name systems as a service for their customers, so they are highly interested in the performance of the domain name system. That's what this working group has on its agenda. So it is domain name system technical questions and issues, and not domain name policies. If you're interested in that, there are other organizations in Europe. I can think of CENTER, the European Council of Top-Level Domain Registries. But we deal with domain name issues, including internationalized domain names, how to introduce them, how to handle them, DNSSEC, secure DNS systems. The internet nowadays is, the infrastructure is grouped around exchange points, network access points, whatever you call them. It's concentration points where lots and lots of ISPs come together to exchange their traffic. We have a working group where the operators of these exchange points come together and discuss with basically their customers the functionality, performance, and technical issues surrounding internet exchange points. IPv6, IPv6 is coming. It has been coming for, I think, 12 years now. But it's almost there, and it is being deployed on an ever-growing scale. So we have an IPv6 working group where operational issues are being discussed. People who deploy it for the first time will find out that it has its own peculiarities. It's it's not straightforward to do it. RIPE NCC Services Working Group, as will be explained in the next talk, RIPE spawned the RIPE NCC as a legal entity to do a lot of the administrative work that came out of RIPE. So RIPE NCC provides services to its members and to the public at large. We have a working group where these services are being discussed. People can, if you want new services, want to propose new services, you go to this working group. You want to change existing services, kill existing services, you're more than welcome to bring it up in this working group. Routing working group, I think that speaks for itself. Routing is one of the most important fundamentals of the global internet, and that is where you as an ISP directly interact with all your neighbors, competing ISPs. Security is becoming more and more of an issue on the internet. We have a technical security working group where aspects of security, you can think about things like secure IP, but also securing BGP are being discussed. And last but not least, we have a working group where people report on measurements of internet performance. Internet has become more and more a very important part of the economy. And until recently, nobody had a clue how the internet performed, really. Of course, every ISP can give you the answer. My network is perfect and the rest is all shit. So come and sign here and... But for the internet as a global system, there are various groups, and the RIPE is one of them. And most of the work is done inside the RIPE NCC, as Axel will explain. There is a need for a bit more impartial and certainly a higher technical level of measurements of the performance of the internet. We have a working group there. As you may have noticed today and tomorrow morning, we have a series of mainly technical lectures, tutorials, reports. It's under the label of European Operators Forum. The idea is that you, the operators of networks, come and share your experience, horror stories, whatever, with your colleagues. And last but not least, we have a Limerick working group, but that will all be disclosed on Friday when all the working group reports, because everything is open in RIPE except the people driving the Limerick's working group. That's the so-called secret working group. You will see more about it later. So, how to join? Simple, subscribe to a mailing list and come to our meetings. If you can't come to the meetings because your company has some financial constraints, it's not good enough reason not to join, because a mailing list is practically free of charge. Everything is open. Again, you don't have to join any membership organization to participate in this work. And it's all on the website. All the documents, all the meeting minutes, and all the mail archives from the last 15 years. Last on my agenda is policy development. As I explained, the working groups are the fora where policy is being discussed and defined for our area. Other parts of the world have similar organizations. The four guiding principles in our policy development principles are openness. Anyone can participate, as I have already explained. Transparent. There are no secret dealings going on, and everything can be found on our website. All the discussions, minutes of meetings, archives of mailing lists. It's developed bottom-up. That means that initiatives come from you and not from us, not from the RIPE NCC, not from the Dutch government, nobody else but you. And it's all documented. And those are the principles. How does it work in practice? Well, it's a loop. It's not a process that has a well-defined start point and an end point, and then you can forget about it. Usually it starts with a need. There is a need for something. Need driven by changes in technology, different requirements of the industry. So we have usually a working group where that need can be discussed, because maybe it's only a few people that perceive there is a need for change or a new policy. So it is being discussed on email lists and in working group meetings, which are open. And then at a certain stage, consensus is reached. Believe me, that happens. And then it has to be implemented. And that's the task usually of the RIPE NCC. Also, it has usually repercussions for individual ISPs who also have to implement it. Then after a while, it's time to evaluate it. A, does it work? Does it work as we intended it to work? Is it still valid? And that might generate a need for change. And then we are back, and the whole circle goes around again. And this is typical how items are being tackled in our working groups. Sometimes a technical issue has a clear, well-defined start point and end point, and then it's done. And that we usually do in a task force. In the case of IP address policy, that has resulted in a clear policy, well-documented, that is a balance between conservation of address space, aggregation of routing parameters, and registration of whatever happened with the address space. And that is a kind of justification of what we are doing. That's the end of my presentation. I can take questions now, or Axel and I can take questions after Axel's presentation of the RIPE NCC. Axel?
Okay, sorry about that. My name is Axel Pavlik. I'm the Managing Director of the RIPE NCC. And basically, I want to alert you to some of the differences and distinctions between RIPE and the RIPE NCC. As usual, I find your presentation very interesting, especially the part about you don't exist and so you have time to work. We do exist. We are incorporated. We have stuff. Does that mean we don't have time to work? Or maybe it's a different type of work. That's fine. So, and there we don't go on from there. I must have done something really stupid in this thing. Okay. So, main differences between RIPE and the RIPE NCC is, first of all, the name, although that might not count as a main difference. And I guess if we had to do it all over again, we would choose a different name for the RIPE NCC, I guess. Well, anyway, RIPE, as you say, is not incorporated. The RIPE NCC is. It's a membership association under Dutch law. RIPE does host the open RIPE meetings. We are only the secretariat and try to support Rob and the working group chairman as much as possible in setting these up and coordinating, and we do give some services to members and to others as well. The overview here is why, what, and where about the RIPE NCC, what's our service region, what's our structure, what are our tasks, and how do we determine what we do, and some contact information. So why do we need a network coordination center? As Rob has said, the participation within RIPE has exploded over the years, and you guys coming here as soon as you take up your new job as a working group chairman are in effect a volunteer, and we found that some support was needed. So basically, there's too much work to be done, although you are not incorporated. There's too much work to be done on a voluntary basis, so we are here to help you with doing it, at least trying to coach you to do yours. So the activities basically require continuity and coordination. What also is important is that at a certain stage we found it absolutely necessary that we have this neutrality and impartiality bit guaranteed, so we set up the RIPE NCC with the strict rules that we need to be impartial and treat all of our members the exact same. And of course, we needed a very visible, always present contact point for RIPE outside and inside the RIPE region that could be called up and phoned immediately and simply. So what are we? As I said, we are for once, a bottom-up industry self-regulatory thing. Open, transparent, neutral, and impartial. The question is, how do we do this in particular? We are a Dutch membership association, as such incorporated under Dutch law in Amsterdam, and about since 1997. The NCC exists in some form or the other since 1992 already, under the wings of this or that other organization. We are funded by our members or by the RIPE participants, and then as membership association by our members. Thus, we are independent from any other industry body or government or whatever organization might be there. Our membership is open to all interested parties, individuals, ISPs, government bodies that might be able to partake in such a thing. Do come. Basically, what we see is that most of our members are the ISPs of the region. We are currently a membership association of about 3,600 and a bit as of last month. We have an executive board that sort of guides the RIPE NCC management, which is elected then, of course, by the membership. The membership itself guides the activities and the budget of the RIPE NCC Membership Association, and in the end approves the fees that the RIPE NCC charges its members, the charging scheme. The policies, however, to which we adhere in our resource allocations, for instance, are set by the industry at large, by you. There's nothing at the RIPE NCC that actually sets policies. What we do is we implement those policies, and from time to time we come up with procedures to make it possible to do this in a good way. So our service region in pictures, basically, as Rob has said, it's all of Europe, the ex-Soviet Union, Middle East, and the northern bit of Africa. The other regions you see there is the green bit is ARIN, the American Registry for Internet Numbers. LACNIC is a relatively new area, obviously catering for South America and the Latin America and the Caribbean region. And the blue bits are catered for by APNIC, the Asia-Pacific Network Information Center. They're sitting in Brisbane. And there's this divided continent, which is a bit strange. Africa, that's currently served by ourselves and ARIN. That is something that we hope will change over the course of this year and next year. AFRINIC is coming up, and we are supporting that, of course. But, well, this is how the world looks for us today. The international situation, APNIC is active since 93, ARIN in the current form since 97. LACNIC, as I said, is relatively new. They came into being in 2002 formally, and AFRINIC is on the way to becoming an RIR. They have the first open policy meeting this month in Dakar. Then we have the Number Resource Organization, which is a unique beast that is set up by the RIRs between themselves as sort of a common vehicle for RIR activity and especially RIR representation. And we have the IANA, the Internet Assigned Numbers Authority. You might wonder, if we are allocating Internet resources, where do we get those resources from? We don't make them ourselves. We get blocks of numbers from the IANA for further allocation. So in the overall big contest, operational context, with regard to the allocation of resources, well, actually then the allocation, the error should be one-sided. IANA allocates us the resources, and you see at the left-hand corner, the RIPE NCC allocates further on and assigns to its members under policies made by RIPE, the Regional Open Forum. And that is very similar for all the RIRs. They are all not-for-profit associations with regional meetings attached, regional open forum attached that set the policies for the regions. So very similar to our point. Of course, yeah, well, in that sense, it's a two-way relationship. The political context in contrast to the operational one is that, as I said before, the RIRs are coming together under the umbrella of the Number Resource Organization. The Number Resource Organization in itself then, which is a very lightweight thing, and I'll talk about this tomorrow after lunch in some more detail. The NRO in itself then can represent the RIRs to outward, to external bodies, for instance, IANA, if it has to be the case, of certainly towards ICANN and others. There we have seen the World Summit on the Information Society of the last 2 years. That is something that the RIRs are following quite closely, and we have made several statements as the NRO there. Now, you might wonder how our RIPE NCC activity is set, and I've updated this slide and forgot that picture in the animation. Sorry about that. Here's the RIPE NCC. We have the RIPE NCC Services Working Group. Rob has alluded to that. That is a working group within RIPE that discusses, for instance, the quality of services that the RIPE NCC gives to the community and whether we should be doing this or another service. So there's discussion there. Obviously, we, as a membership association, have the executive board, and those guys are my board, and they, from time to time, talk to me and guide us in what we should be doing or what they think we do well or not so well. Then we have done a membership survey some time ago, and the et al. Alludes to other input to the RIPE NCC, for instance, from the IETF, various working groups there, the IAB, and others. Well, I haven't seen any concrete input from them into our activities, but you could think about things like that. Now, the RIPE NCC then takes on that input in a structured way and produces a document that's called the RIPE NCC Activity Plan for every year. This activity plan now is presented to the members at the RIPE NCC Memberships Association, we call that a general meeting. Actually, we have them twice a year. The general meeting, of course, is the formal representation of the RIPE NCC members, which of course tell us then very clearly, do that or don't do that. Basically, we present them with an activity plan, and of course, over the course of setting up this document, the community and our members have already had the chance to give us input on that. So basically, what the general meeting does is the formal okay to set us on our course for the next year in what we should be doing, and of course what we should be charging for it as well in terms of membership fees. So what are those tasks? Basically, it's coordination and provision of services for our own members and for the community at large, and we have basically three big headings there. We have membership services that are available only to members. Prime example here is registration services, the allocation of internet resources, addresses, for instance, to members. Then we have coordination services that speaks about the groundwork, for instance, in maintaining and setting up and maintaining the WHOIS database, the infrastructure for that, the software and the access for that. And, of course, things like governance of the association in terms of annual reports and other documents that we have to produce. And coordination speaks about coordination with other groups external to the RIRs. And then we have something that is a relatively new beast, information services, that in a way is also a coordination service, but the focus here is to provide understandable information to a non-technical audience. In saying that, we have long lists of data timelines that we have accumulated over the last 15 years. That is great to work with, great statistical data, but the shortcomings that we have typically is that we are more or less all geeks, and we find it difficult to communicate from time to time with the governments who, for instance, overall are not geeks. So what we want to establish this year and next year is to find a way in a controlled manner to take our geeky information, great studies, and summarize them in an understandable way so that they can even be further summarized and presented to our government representatives or the journalists around the corner, so that they understand and trust the information that they get, knowing that it's based on some geeky data underneath that they don't really need to look at. So, great challenge here. And of course, the primary task possibly of the RIPE NCC, or that is the task that is known and that we are most often associated with, is to work as the regional internet registry for our region. That involves responsible stewardship of internet resources. You basically know that already. That involves IPv4 and IPv6 addresses, autonomous system numbers, basically in terms of allocation, assignments, and registration. We have four of these beasts around in the world. The next one is coming up. But again, the RIPE NCC is more than just an RIR. Organizational statistics, as I said, located in Amsterdam. It's basically 5 minutes walk from here. When we started in 92, we had, well, 1, 2, 3 staff. We had no real members or no local internet registries. We had about 8,000 objects in the database and a smallish budget of $250,000 ECU, that was the European Currency Union unit at the time. Things have slightly changed. Now we have about 90 staff. We have had more than 100 and are slightly shrinking back again of about 24, 25 nationalities. Some people count double. We have more than 3,600 participants in terms of membership. We have nearly 2 million objects in the database, and the budget currently is hovering about 10 million euros per year for the last 2 years. Who's who? That's the board. They talk to me. They govern basically the organizational aspects of the RIPE NCC. That's me with more hair. Then we have a chief technical officer, Andrei Robaczewski, chief financial officer, Joachim Duroch. They are not here, but you might see them on the corridors during the course of the week. And we have the head of members, services and training, and not training, communications and all those things. Too much to fit on the slide. And he's not as pale as suggested here. It's Paul Rendek, and you will see him certainly. And then we have somebody who talks to me in a more strategic way, our chief scientist, Daniel Karrenberg, and the chief propeller head. And those are the guys I work with closest on a day-to-day basis. And, of course, we have plenty of other staff members and departments and groups that are working within the RIPE NCC, and you'll see some of them here. Now, basically, the buzzwords that we always put on the political slides, we are a not-for-profit association. You have heard it several times by now. We are legitimate and stable in that we already exist for a very long time. We are set up by the industry. We are not top-down, but we are very much grassroots, bottom-up. It's important to be said again and again. Open and transparent. Everybody can participate. Certainly in RIPE, it's not even involved with any membership fees or stuff like that. If you have a need to allocate resources to your customers as an ISP, you're more than welcome to become a member of the RIPE NCC. There are no real entry hurdles. And transparent, everything we do is... everything we do, we believe, is easily readable and understandable. Sometimes we hear that documents we write are academic in nature and not easily understood. So we're working on that very hard. That's part of the outreach effort, of course, as well. But everything we are doing is documented on our website. Neutral, impartial, mentioned that. Lots of contact information. This presentation will go up on our web pages. So all of this you don't have to write down. You can find within a few days on our web pages as well. And important for you as newcomers is that we have a Hostmaster Center down in the main corridor, informal room, something like that. We do have a membership liaison desk opposite, also in the main corridor. And we have meet and greet activity also, especially looking after newcomers to the fold. We want to make you feel as welcome as possible. And so these are some of the activities that we have laid on for that. And then I invite your questions, or we do, actually. Please. Yes.
Does ARIN not have an NCC budget?
ARIN is the NCC of the region. That's a very good question.
ARIN, the America's Registry for Internet Numbers, performs at least the registration of IP version 4 and 6 and ASN numbers. ARIN runs a routing registry, routing information registry, and ARIN has an outreach and training program, and I think that's 90% of the ARIN activities. Having a registry that hands out IP address blocks, they need rules and policy. They have what they call the ARIN open policy meeting. Twice a year they meet in the same spirit, at least, as this week, RIPE and the RIPE NCC meet. And the two-day meeting where they discuss policy is open to all and everybody. No membership conditions are there, and the two-day open meeting is followed by a half-a-day meeting for the membership, which at least last week or 2 weeks ago when we were there was open. Nobody checked whether you were a member. And I attended as well. What Erin does not do, the RIPE NCC has a bit wider spectrum of activities. RIPE NCC has activities in more in developing new technologies. The RIPE NCC develops lots of internet measurement activities, which Erin is not doing. On the other hand, on the North American continent, there is, I think, 15 years already, a series of meetings called NANOC, North American Network Operators Group, which is quite complementary to ERIN and which does a lot of the activities which we in Europe do in our RIPE working groups. So the spectrum of RIPE is much wider than the policy meeting of ERIN. And the activities of the RIPE NCC are a bit wider than the activities of ERIN, but that is compensated by a different organization in North America. All very complicated, but very simple.
And that, of course, holds true for the other areas as well. They basically function in a similar way. Have their similar operators' meetings, but maybe the main difference indeed is that the meeting was first, RIPE was first, and then the need for a secretariat came up. And the secretariat then relatively early, but not right at the start, was allocated the function of Internet Registry. So that's a relatively new thing for the RIPE NCC. It was not there from the outset. Whereas with the other RIRs, that was the main function from the start, and they spawned their policy meetings and have other meetings in their area of influence. Any more questions? We should not tell those people about the beer breaks and the socials in the evening before they have asked at least three questions.
Okay, but I guess they know by now.
Yeah.
Beer on the first floor.
Beer on the first floor, I think on the first floor,
yeah.
In Amsterdam room.
Yeah.
See you there. Thank you.